Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Let's stand together. And we're going to be looking in chapter number 1, verse number 4 in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 4 in the Bible. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here in the first part of verse number 6. And then we'll pray and you can be seated. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The Bible says, Then said I, Ah, Lord God. Let's pray, and you can be seated. Father, we bow before you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our desire tonight is to magnify and glorify you and exalt you. God, I know if we'll do that, God, you'll show up in an unusual way. And God, if there'll be somebody here that's not saved, God, you'll deal in their hearts. There's no doubt about that. God, if there's somebody here that's saved, but God, they're struggling, you'll deal in their hearts. There's no doubt about that. And God, if there be somebody here that's saved, Lord, but they need to just be closer to you, God, you'll deal in their hearts. There's no doubt about that. So, God, we're looking forward to what you're going to do tonight. We ask, God, for unction and power. We ask, God, that you would help us, Lord, to say everything that you would say if you were here. And, God, that you would empower it with the Holy Ghost, that it might prick the hearts of these people. Lord, that you might be exalted and magnified. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I got ready for tonight by going to school today. I went to school, me and my wife. It was Grandparents' Day at our local school. And I've got a little grandson. I got 4 grandchildren. What about that? That's something considering I'm only 25 years old now. Well, okay. I'm just joking about that 25-year-old part stuff. But I got one in kindergarten today. And so they asked me if I'd come be the grandpa for kindergarten day. And Brother Henry, there I went. Me and my wife went down through that school and sat in there. And they asked me if I would read a little book they had. It was called Grandfather and I. I got up and read that thing. And I got to thinking about when I was in school and I was first learning how to read. They told me that there were certain things that you looked ahead to see. And then that would help you to read the sentence right. In other words, if it was a question, before you ever even started in the sentence, if you just looked over at the end of the sentence, and you saw what little squirvy mark there with a little dot on the bottom of it, then that showed you how to read that sentence. And you would put that emphasis and you would say it in such a manner to where it would be in the form of a question. Like, where did he go? And so you look down there at the back and it showed you how to read that thing. Well, I got to looking here in the scriptures here, and in verse number 6, I noticed here that it said, Then said I, Ah, Lord God. And I read that to you just a minute ago and just read it again, but I read it wrong. Because when I looked at the end of that thing's got this big slash with a dot underneath the bottom of it. And what that means right there is that means that it is with excitement. I mean, it's exclamatory marks, what they call it. And what had actually happened right here was Jeremiah actually got beside of himself. I mean, he got filled up. He said here with everything that he had, he was, Oh, Lord God! So I thought, man, he's tore up about something. I better find out what it is. So I backed up and I looked at verse number 4. And I found, boy, here's something to get excited about. The Bible said, Then the word of the Lord came unto me. What about that? Well, I bet you that's why he got excited right there. It's when God spoke to him, all of a sudden, man, I'm telling you what, it just overwhelmed me. Can you remember when God spoke to you? Now, sometimes it's in an awesome, exciting way, but sometimes it's in that still, small voice, like my wife just talked about. I can remember when God spoke to me. I was a manager of a restaurant, Long John Silver's. Isn't that impressive? And I was back in the back now, just lost. And I'm sitting in the back of that restaurant doing a nightly inventory and everybody's gone. It's an empty building. And I'm doing that inventory, man, I'm filling that thing out. And all of a sudden, man, I felt that there was somebody in that building. And I'm not trying to be Pentecostal, charismatical, or anything like that, but I'm telling you, there was somebody in the building. Are y'all listening to me? And I said, man, because I had the assistant manager, and we played tricks on each other all the time. And so we'd loosen the salt and the pepper and all that kind of stuff. And put the Tabasco sauce over in there. And all that. So I said, there's somebody in here. So I got up and I made my way through there, Brother Rackley. I said, man, he's out there in the dining room and he snuck in on me. And I come in there and I looked around all in that dining room, but he wasn't in there. And I thought, well. So I went back and I sat back down and started writing again, started writing on that inventory and adding up with that calculator. Oh, man, I mean, there was a presence of somebody in there. And I'm telling you what, I said, there's somebody in this building. And I got up and I walked back out there and I said, man, there's somebody hiding in the bathroom. And I went in there and I opened up the boys' bathroom. I went, ha! There wasn't nobody in there, though. And I eased out, Brother Henry, and I walked over to the girls' bathroom. I said, man, he's hiding in that girls' bathroom. What about that? And I eased over and got that door. And I opened up and, ha! But there wasn't nobody in there. And so I went back and I said, man, I just felt like somebody's in. I went back and started writing on that inventory and used that calculator again. I said, man, he is hiding in the cooler. That's where he's at. And so I put down my pencil. I eased over there to that big walk-in cooler freezer. I opened that door up and went, ah! But there wasn't nobody in there. And man, I got back over and sat back down. And all of a sudden, the presence of God come upon me. I'm talking about something real, friend. Hey, Paul's got his story, but I got mine, amen. And God, the Holy Ghost, came into the presence of the room where I was at. And I could hear His voice and Him talking to me. And I said, oh God. And the tears began to flow. And I said, oh God, if You'll just let me live, I'll be in church come Sunday. Now I remember I left from that building that night. And I went home. I woke up Linda about 2 o'clock morning. I said, Linda, wake up. I said, we're going to church Sunday. She said, what? We didn't go but on Christmas and Easter, see? See, the Easter was the bunny rabbit thing. Yeah. You know about the bunny rabbit thing. I don't know about the bunny rabbit thing. I remember one time we went and they let me hide the egg. I was just a lost guy and they let me hide the egg. Man, that's not smart, is it? They said, we put $20 in the prize egg. I said, I'll hide that. How about that? My boy found that. What about that? Christmas, we'd go by and we'd find the church that had the big candy bar and the big apple and orange. That's about all we was. I remember I told Lynn, I said, we're going to church Sunday. Tears dripping off my face. She said, what? I said, I'm going to church Sunday. And she said, well, if you're going, I'm going with you. And you know what? We've been going ever since then. Got in there and God dealt with my heart. Hey, I'm talking about the voice of God that will change your life. Hey, but I'm talking about when God's Word speaks to your soul. Amen. Hey, it happened to Jeremiah. He went, oh, Lord God. But that might not have been what it was. I looked here at this next thing and it says, before I formed thee in the belly. It might have been that he realized how powerful and awesome that God is. That God had formed him in the belly. Amen. I'm talking about a living soul. When it was conceived, a living soul. I'm talking about living, not tissue. I'm talking about living soul. I'm talking about when that conception was made. A living soul was conceived. And God said, I formed thee in the belly. I couldn't help but go back all the way back to Adam when God pulled that dust of the earth together and God breathed in his nostrils and he became a living soul. God formed him out of the dust. Amen. Linda walked up. I believe it might have even been today. She walked up to my son. My son's 23 years old, still lives at home with us, still waiting on the right one. That's right. And she walked upstairs and walked into the bathroom there where his bathroom's at. And she walked over there and she said, "Son, what have you been washing in this shower?" I mean, the dirt was all over the bottom of it. I don't know if he'd been playing in the mud or what. And he got up there and there was dirt all over the bottom of that. And Linda said, "What have you done? It's on the shower curtain and everything." She said, "We just bought this about 2 weeks ago." And he said, "Well, Mom, what do you expect? I'm made out of dirt. It's just reaching out." You know what Jeremiah did? It was that Jeremiah, when God said, "Before I formed thee," I mean, tell you what, it might have rushed through his soul, and he might have for the first time acknowledged how that God had formed him. If it hadn't been for God, he never would have been a Jeremiah. If it hadn't been for God, never would have been a Barry Rashley. Had it been for God, there never would have been a Brother Henry. Amen. But God, in his mercy and love, even before we were, he loved us enough to form us in the womb. Jeremiah was, "Oh, Lord God." But that might not have been what it was. It might have been this next part. "I knew thee." What about that? Now, I know what it says over in Matthew chapter number 7. How we're there all going on about how they're doing all this stuff for God. And God saying, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God." And they, "Many shall say to me in that day," that great white throne judgment, "many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works?" And Jesus is going to profess unto them, "A department, I never knew you." Never.
Come on now.
Wasn't that "I knew you and then you lost it"? It was never, friend. "I never knew you." Here's Jeremiah. God said, "Before I ever even formed you, Jeremiah, I knew you. You know me. I like it when somebody important just remembers my name. Leonard Fletcher." I like it, don't you? Somebody remembers Leonard. It's a good thing, friend. When you come into a church and the pastor steps up and he knows who you are, says, "Come on up, Brother Leonard. Brother Sammy Allen," now, I've preached a lot for him. He's preached a lot for me. And Brother Sammy Allen, he can't say my name. He can say Frazier, but he can't say Leland. It just wads up in his mouth. So he'll just say Lynn. He just calls me Lynn. And he'll say, "Brother Lynn, come on up here. Brother Lynn, it's good to have you. Brother Lynn." And somebody said, "Don't you think you ought to tell him that he's saying that wrong, that your name's actually Leland?" I said, "I don't care if he knows who I am. I said, I don't really care if everybody in here really knows who I am. I just assume everybody forgot who Leland was. I'd rather them know who he is. Amen. I'd rather them know who Jesus is. Hey, man, if you don't ever remember my name again, that's okay. Hey, man, as long as you remember who he is."
Amen.
But man, ain't it awesome, Brother Henry, when God says, "I know you." I like it, don't you? Amen. I don't have to stand before the God and him say, "Hey, I don't know you. Get him out of here. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." No, he's going to look at me and he's going to say, "I know you." I say, Jeremiah, about time that rung in through his soul. Amen. God speaking to him. God saying, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." He went, "Oh, Lord God, that's wonderful."
Amen.
But that might not have been what it was. Here I see it says, "Before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee." Sanctified thee. I got to looking around and boy, I looked over here in these scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I like this chapter right here.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Just recently, I was on visitation just a couple of weeks ago, and we stopped at this little apartment, and we started talking to this lady. She wasn't interested. Finally, I just said, "Ma'am, are you interested when I got to say, or are you too tired?" She was yawning. It was horrible. She's really trying to make sure I knew she was tired. It's like, oh. I said, ma'am, are you interested in what I got to say, or are you too tired? She said, I'm just too tired. But there's a 21-year-old girl that had been listening to what I said, and she stepped around the corner. I didn't even know she was there. Right? And she stepped around the corner, and she said, I ain't too tired. She said, I want to hear the rest of what you got to say. And I said, well, ma'am, come on out here on the porch. And she stepped out on this little dinky porch. And I opened up the scripture and began to tell her out of a little old gospel tract where had these verses in it. And I began to go down through these scriptures. And I said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I read down through that, and I said, young lady, do you know what these people here are? And she said, no. And I said, a fornicator is someone that is voluntarily committing that act with one another that they only should be committing when they're married. Then I said, idolater, that's somebody that's worshiping an idol instead of God. And that could be anything that takes the place of worship of God. It could be that instead of you going to the house of God, you decided to go on a trip or to go fishing or go hunting or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with those things as long as you don't make an idol out of them instead of worshiping God. But I said, then there's an adulterer. And I said, that's that person that's married to another person and they're going out on their mate. And she said, I understand what that is. And I started watching the welts coming up on her neck right here. I'm talking about she had a kind of a low cut shirt on and I could see the welts crawling up her neck. I'm talking about God, the Holy Ghost. I was wearing her out. And I said, and the next one, she said, wait a minute, what was that fornicator again? And I said, young lady, that's that one that's not married, but they're committing that act together like they were married. And she said, okay. And I watched them whelps continue to crawl up her neck. And I said, then there's that effeminate. I said, that's a man with woman-like traits. That's that man that don't... He don't walk. He don't walk. He just glides. God said they ain't going to heaven. What about that? You say, well, my son, he's a little bit, you know, he's not as manly as I'd like for him to be. Well, then help him get manly. Help him get manly. Take the doll away from him and give him a talking toy. Push him down in the dirt. Let him play with the hog or something. Let just something happen to get this boy up and make a fool out of him. See what girl. Amen. You don't want little sissy walking around like this either. He did say I was going to preach here in a few minutes, didn't he? And then there's abusers of themselves with mankind. And I said, this is talking about if you look at Leviticus chapter number 20, verse number 13 or 18:22. I said, God separates the mankind from women. And I said, here is a man that's abusing himself with another man in such an act that shouldn't be done. As a matter of fact, it's abomination. It's sickening to God. And God's not for it. And she said, now what was the fornicator again? And I said, a fornicator is one, and boy, them whelps had done crawled up side of her chin now. You listen to me? I mean, it's wearing on her. And I told her. And I said, then there's thieves. And I said, you know what a thief is? And she said, yeah, I think I do. I said, that's somebody that takes something that doesn't belong to them. And I said, then there's nor covetous. I said, that's somebody that wants it real bad, but just ain't got enough guts to take it. Then I said, nor drunkards. And I said, you know what that is? And she said, yeah. And I don't drink, she said. I said, well, that's good. And I said, nor, and before I get out, she said, what did you say was a fornicator again? And I told her. And I said, nor revilers. I said, revilers. And I looked at her and her countenance was changed. Are y'all listening to me? How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. I saw her countenance changing and her eyes filling up. And I saw one break loose right out of the corner and start trickling down. And she reached it and got it real quick. And she wiped it back. But it was overwhelming her. I mean, the Word of God was convicting her. Amen. And it was starting to run down her face. And she was reaching and grabbing and wiping and pushing. And I said, now revilers are those that use contemptuous language or profanity, foul things that proceed from their mouths. And I said, God said they're not going, nor extortioners. And I said, that's somebody that gains from the expense of another because of power or authority. They tell you because of their supervisor, they say, put that in my trunk. And they can say they didn't do it, but they had the power to make you do it. And they gain. I said, that's extortioners.
Yeah.
When I got done with that, I looked up at her and she broke. She said, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. And I said, young lady, her legs was getting so weak, she was just doing this. Are y'all listening to me? I mean, her legs were just about to give out on her. Whelps had done run up. I mean, I'm talking about massive whelps running up beside her neck and up. And she was sitting there like this. Her legs are getting weak. And I said, young lady, I said, what are you going to do about it? And she said, I need to be saved right now. And I said, would you like to call on God? And I didn't even get that out. And she was already calling. I didn't even wait on me. I started to say, wait a minute, you're supposed to follow along here. But instead, Brother Henry, you know I didn't do that. I just stepped back. I said, oh God. Oh God. And you know what? She started praying out loud. I'm talking about a young 21-year-old girl. Lost. Didn't know nothing. Didn't know nothing. Friggin'. And all of a sudden, I heard her crying out loud. Oh God. Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, save me. Oh God. Amen. And God gloriously, miraculously, awesomely, wonderfully saved. And I looked here in this next verse. And such were some of you. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. I've seen that word sanctified right there. Not only did God wash you, but He sanctified you and set you apart to be used for God's glory. God saved me, Brother Henry. And I remember when God called me. I remember when God sanctified us. Are y'all listening to me? You say, well, I've been saved all these years, but you know I probably shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that. And you know, I don't know if I really see anything wrong. Preacher says it's wrong, but I don't know if it's really wrong to do that or not. I've been doing it all my life, and I'm still saved and everything. But let me tell you something. Perhaps maybe the reason God ain't using you like He's using others all around you is because God's trying to sanctify you and set you apart. But you fought Him on it so long that perhaps maybe God's just said, that's all right. You just glide on through. And you'll miss out on so many rewards and crowns. And when Jesus is being worshipped beyond anything we've ever seen, and the glory is shining upon our God, and people are taking off their crowns and casting Him at His feet and falling down in worship, you'll stand over in the corner over there with nothing to show for your life, because you wouldn't get sanctified. You wouldn't let God do something in your life. Now remember when God sanctified us. Me and my wife went to an old fashioned tent meeting. Oh man, a God got up. We was on our way up. I told. Now, see, we didn't know where to go. We was ignorant. Yes. Y'all listen. I was talking about ignorant. When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing but big, large candy bars and apples and oranges and Easter egg hunts. That's all I know. But I knowed how to hide that prize egg, friend. I guarantee y'all know how to do that. But when I got saved, I didn't know nothing. So we were looking for a place to go. We just decided to go where Linda's sister went. That's all we know. She said, come go church with us. So we did. Come find out the preacher was devil married. He was disqualified to start with. Amen. Y'all listen to me?
Amen.
And he had said that King James Bible was okay, but them other ones was good too. Y'all, I didn't know nothing.
Come on now.
I didn't know nothing. Boy, y'all looking different at me now, ain't you? I didn't know nothing. Just by the grace of God, I got me a King James Bible. Just by the grace of God. And I got in that thing. You can ask my wife. I got in it too now. I'm telling you what, I got in that Bible now. I jumped in. I swam in that thing. I had a job. I used to come from to Morristown, all up in the other states, and everything. This job where I traveled a lot. I bought me some of them Alexander Scorby tapes back in. There wasn't no CDs back in. And I got me them tapes, and I'd list them things so I wore the black off the plastic cover. And I'm talking about it got to where he was in slow motion, wasn't even trying to be. I'm talking about he'd go, "And God said..." I'd have to hit fast forward where I could even understand what he's talking about. And I listened to it and I'd read it, brother. I'd get it open at night. You can ask my wife. I'd get to reading it. She'd come in there at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd have to get back up at 5, 6. And she'd come in there. Tears would be dripping on my Bible. I'd be sitting there reading it. And she'd come in there and she'd say, "Honey, ain't you going to go to bed?" I'd look up at her. "How can I go to bed? How can I go to bed?" Are y'all listening to me? That's God sanctifying you. You listen, that was God setting apart. That was God saying, "I got something special." Are you listening to me? Hey, I'm not talking about we're anything special. He'll do the same thing for you.
Amen. Yes, sir, brother.
We went to that old-fashioned meeting. I told the pastor of that church, I said, "I'm going to go up here. Brother so-and-so." He said, "I'm going with you." He said, "I'll drive you." So he drove us up, me and Linda in the back seat. It was Brother Sammy Allen.
Oh, mercy.
He said, "I'll tell you one thing," this preacher did. He said, "I'll tell you one thing." He said, I've heard he'll make you stand up. And he said, "He'll make you go down and pray for hours." Does anybody know Brother Sammy in here? Hey! Does anybody know old Sammy Allen? Okay. And he said, he'll make you go down there and pray till your legs go so. He said, "I'll tell you right now, I ain't going down there. I don't care what he says." I thought, well, okay. I didn't know he was. We come pulling in old tent meeting, 200 people in this little old 40 by 60 tent. Man, it was packed out. We walked in, everybody standing up. We never did sit down. We stood up for 2.5 hours. Y'all listen to me? We never did sit down. We're standing up in this big, huge crowd. And we came easing through the crowd and found us a place way back over in the back over in that area. And we're standing there and Brother Sammy's up there and he said, Hey, you back there, sir, right there." And he said, "You come down here and pray for him." Point right at that guy. At least. And he got up and went down there and prayed. Prayed for about 30 seconds. And he got back up and started back up. And Brother Sammy, I said, hey, come down here and pray a little bit longer.
Amen.
So Henry made him stay down there for 2.5 hours. When it was over, I'd go up there, me and another fella, and drag him off the altar and try to get him to stand up because his legs wouldn't work no more. You say, "Preacher, that's me." I know, but it was great. Man, he preached. Son, I'm telling you, he preached on everything. He preached about how you're to look. He preached out where you're to go. He preached on how you're to talk. He preached on what you're listening to. He said, "Throw that rock music away. Throw that those ungodly things away." I mean, man, he was plowing it and preaching it, plowing it and preaching it. I'm telling you what, we got back in the car and started down the road. Finally, the preacher got where he could use that. I said, "Preacher." Finally, the man got to where he could use the pedals. And we started down the road. And for nearly an hour to get home, he was talking about how that was legalism. "Don't listen to that," he said. "That's legalism." That ain't legalism. That's called being sanctified and set apart for God's use. All the way down through, he said, "Now you don't have to listen to that. And what he said about that, you don't have to listen to that. And you don't have to do this, and you don't have to do that. You don't have to do this, and you don't have to do that," all the way home. She'd turn around and look at Linda and she'd say, "You don't have to do that. And you don't have to do this, and you don't have to do that." We got home. We walked through the door and I turned around with tears in my eyes and looked at my wife while she was tears dripping off her face. And she said, "I believe you was right."
Amen.
And I said, "I know he was." And she walked in that bedroom. Are y'all listening to me? She opened up them two closet doors. She said, there's no way I can be Spirit-filled and Holy Ghost-filled if I wear this. And she reached in there like this, brother. And she grabbed all of her clothes and just pulled them together and pulled them out and laid them across her shoulder and went in there and throwed them things down to haul off. And while she was doing that, I was pulling my drawers open and pulling out shorts and tank muscle shirts. Muscle shirts. Didn't need them muscle shirts no more. Hey man, I was throwing everything away. I was throwing necklaces away and bracelets and everything else was going in the trash. And all them Bachman Turner Overdrive seed. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, some of you. I'm talking about Brother Henry, we was throwing some stuff away. See, if God had let me mow the yard to that church.
Yeah.
And I showed up there to mow the yard on the riding lawnmower. And it was about a quarter of a mile, maybe even a third of a mile from the church where they held the lawnmower at. And I got out there and got on that thing, started driving it down the road because we didn't have no trailer. And cars was going by and laughing. I was, God, he's letting me drive the lawnmower.
Amen.
Got down there to church and Linda come out in her dress. Looked like a holy lady. Are you listening to me? And man, all of a sudden I heard some commotion and gravels were sliding. And they jumped out of the car. And his wife ran over and said, you're going to split the church. You're going to split the church. And Linda said, split the church? Why? If you start dressing like that, you're going to split the church. So I guess we split the church, I reckon. Because we wanted to be sanctified.
That's right.
Perhaps maybe Jeremiah, when he was reading, or when God spoke to him, this is what God said. God said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And Jeremiah went, oh, Lord God! But that might not have been what it was. It might have been this. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You remember, Brother Henry, when God called you to preach? How did it tell you? I remember when God dealt with me. Man, I was sitting in the living room. My wife come walking into the living room. Brother Rackley, I don't know why I started just crying. Just out of control crying. I mean out of control crying. Like I'd been stung or something.
Right.
And I was just squalling like a baby. Had my hands over my head and I was just looking down the floor. And Linda walked over to me. She knelt down there beside of me and she said, he's calling you to preach.
Yeah. Amen.
And I said, yeah. And she said, well, I ain't going to be no stinking preacher's wife. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. The tears welled up in her eyes and started dripping. I called my mom up on the phone and my mom and dad. My mom got saved right before she died. Thank God for that. But she was lost and I called her up and I said, Mama, let me tell you something. What greatest thing happened to me today? God called me to preach. And she said, really? She said, well, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to preach. That's what I'm going to do. My brother said, where are you going to school at? I thought, I'm going to go to the same school Jeremiah went to. And if it weren't for Jeremiah, that's what I'm going. Now, I've been to college and I've got my little thing on the wall. You probably see it in my office. It's pretty good. It's like gold looking seal thing stamped in it. It's awesome, man. I'll tell you where you get it at. You get it when God has ordained. Now, when I was ordained, Brother Henry, I'm sure you had an ordination meeting. I had preachers all in the house. The whole choir loft was full of preachers. And they questioned me, and they asked my wife questions and all different kinds of things. You know how it works. You remember when it happened to you. And we had this, man, I got, you see my big ordination paper in it, pretty?
Yeah.
It's got that little gold thing on it. Did you see it?
Yeah.
That's pretty, man. Now, I'm not being disrespectful, because there were some great men. And you know what they were doing? They were placing their hands on them. They were showing their approval. And I'm honored. I thank God for that. And I'm going to tell you who really ordained me. It wasn't me. Brother Harvey was one of the men on my ordination. It wasn't Brother Harvey that put his hands on me and said, I want you to be the preacher. No, friend, it was God. It was God. It was God. Amen. Perhaps maybe when Jeremiah and God said, I've ordained you to be a prophet unto the nation. I'm going to have you to go and tell them everything I want to say. I'm going to use you to say it. Probably he would. Oh, Lord God. Because I'm reading a little farther and it says, he said, I can't do it. And he said, but Lord, he said, I'm but a child. He said, I don't know what to say. And the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, that shall thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. When I was in school, I'm closing out here in about an hour. When I was in school, I was a very shy type feller. And when they had them oral book reports, I was the last one. And I hoped that she had forgot. But she didn't. I'd wait till everybody went first. And when I'd get up, I'd be so scared and nervous. I remember one time when I was teaching a Sunday school class before the Lord called me to preach. There was this person in the crowd said, I believe God's probably going to call you to preach. I said, oh no. I said, I barely can't even stutter around and talk a little bit in front of somebody, let alone stand and preach. You probably thought the same thing. Did you think so, Brother Henry? You thought, oh God,
not me.
If you'd have said, if you go back about 25 years and said, well, he's going to have you preach, I'd have said, you crazy.
Amen.
You've lost your mind. But God ordained me to preach.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it could have been that Jeremiah said, oh, Lord God, because God had spoke to him. And truly, listen to me. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. I'm nearly done. In this day where there's so much dead and dryness in our churches, there ought not to be a time in this church where the preacher gets up and says, is there anybody about to bust? And you sit there. I was just recently in a Jubilee meeting. The moderator of the meeting got up. And he said, before we have somebody get up here and say, says anybody got a word? Man, the house was packed. I'm talking about packed out. Probably had twice as many people, three times as many people as in here tonight. I mean packed out. He says, anybody got a good word to say about God? Not one thing. 40-something preachers probably in the building.
That's a shame.
He said, hey! He says, anybody got anything good to say about God? And he said, let me tell you something. He said, it's sad, friend, when I can't get one person to say something good about God. And it was almost like pulling a tooth. I'm telling you to get somebody to brag about God. Let me tell you something. If God's ever spoke to you, it ought to be so fresh in your heart. Hey, man, I know as our years go by, a lot of times we get to thinking about all that's going on, and we get our minds and our focus off of Jesus. And we need to, hey, go back to our first love. Amen. Go back and remember when He spoke to you. Go back to you and remember when He said He formed you. Go back to when He gave you that new birth, amen. Birthed you into the family of God, that new form, amen. In the belly, spiritually speaking, of salvation, amen.
Amen.
And you are to just be consumed with, oh Lord God. Let's bow our heads together. I'm done. I'm going to give it over to the preacher here in just a moment. I wonder tonight, though, before I ask the preacher to come, I wonder if God's dealt with anybody's heart in here, and perhaps maybe it's touched you and you've thought and you've said, you know, that's right. God's done so much for me. He didn't have to save me, but He did. He didn't have to call me out from amongst this wicked world, but He did. He didn't have to sanctify me. He don't have to use me, but He does. I don't deserve to be here, but thank God I am. He didn't have to save my family. He didn't have to save my home. He didn't have to save my marriage, but He did. Oh God, He's wonderful. Oh God, I just need to worship You more. I've not been worshiping You like I should. I want to come bow before You and say, I'm sorry, God. I've not been excited about what You've done for me. And I want to say, I'm sorry, God, and I want to give You every bit of me. I want to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto You. And I want to give You every bit of me for the rest of my days. For the rest of my days.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.